This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
For our next story, we're talking about unilateral religious conversion of minors in Selangor. There's been recent kerfuffle about Selangor Menteri Besar Amiruddin Syari attempting to make an amendment to change the wording regarding the conversion of minors from mother and father to mother or father.
Last year, the federal court made a landmark ruling that the consent of both parents is needed for the conversion of minors, and it upheld that the word parent in the federal constitution means both the parents of a child. And this was regarding the M. Indira Gandhi custody battle after her Hindu husband became a Muslim and unilaterally converted their children.
So some lawyers that spoke to Free Malaysia Today are worried that the state amendment might actually override the federal court ruling. So after this, we're going to speak to a lawyer for his thoughts on this and for some clarification on the possible amendment. That will be Nizam Bashir, who's a civil and Sharia lawyer. So keep it here on Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 7:11. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. And we are talking about an attempted amendment to change the wording in regarding the conversion of minors from mother and father to mother or father. This is happening in Selangor. So we wanted to just get some clarification on what's going on. And we have on the line Nizam Bashir, who's a civil and Sharia lawyer. Nizam, thank you so much for joining us. So what do we know about why this amendment is being brought up in Selangor?
To put it very simply, if you look at Section 117 of the Administration of the Religion of Islam, State of Selangor Enactment 2003, Section 117 states a person may convert if he has attained the age of 18 years old, and if he's a minor, his parent or guardian consents to the conversion. So to put it even more simply, above 18, you can convert, no problems. Below 18, your parent or guardian must consent to the conversion before you can convert. So Section 117 is identical to Section 106 of the Administration of Religion of Islam, Perak Enactment. And the Perak provision was what the federal court in Indira Gandhi had to decide and interpret, i.e., does parent mean father and mother, or does it mean father or mother? Meaning to say, as long as one particular parent consents, conversion can be carried out by religious authorities. Okay? So what happened in Indira Gandhi, the federal court held that the consent of a parent in Section 106 Perak means there must be consent of both the father and the mother. So the Selangor Menteri Besar, according to media reports, was supposedly trying to amend Section 117 so that it states consent of one parent suffices for a minor's conversion to be valid. And this would be unconstitutional, as Indira Gandhi has interpreted not just Section 5 and 11 of the Guardianship of Infants Act 1961, but crucially also interpreted Article 8 and 12 of the Federal Constitution. So for that reason, there was concerns that what the Selangor Menteri Besar was trying to do would be unconstitutional.
There are some lawyers who are worried that if the amendment were to be passed in Selangor, that it would override the federal court's ruling over Indira Gandhi's case, where the court ruled that the unilateral conversions were unlawful. Can you explain that concern to us?
Well, I suppose if the court has said that the conversion is contrary to the federal constitution, then certainly what the state is proposing to do is to amend the law and effectively do something that is contrary to the federal constitution. Now, the federal constitution is, you could say, it's the parent's law by which all laws must be tested against. So if the state purports to amend a state law and ultimately that results in something that's contrary to the parent's law, then certainly it would be unconstitutional and it cannot be done.
The Selangor Menteri Besar Amiruddin Syari also said that the amendment is being proposed because only Selangor, Penang and Sabah have differing interpretations about unilateral conversions as compared to other states. Why would that uniformity matter if it does?
Well, I imagine perhaps there may be the sentiments of the religious communities from those states where, you know, you may have converts who have to deal with, their children, where the children were born essentially, where you have parents from mixed faiths as a consequence of one parent converting, the other parent not converting. So I suppose they're trying to deal with that particular problem. Yeah? And I don't know why it seems to be that perhaps it is only Selangor, Penang or Sabah that has this issue. And why, I suppose, there is a need to have some sort of uniform position on this issue as a consequence of the concerns of the religious communities in those states. Yeah, I'm not privy to that particular information. So I suppose that question ought to be posed to the Selangor MBE so that we can actually understand why this is being suggested.
Could you walk us through again why Indira Gandhi's case doesn't set a precedent for how other unilateral conversion cases are handled?
Well, I think there is some argument within at least the legal community at this point in time. There is one segment that takes the view that Indira Gandhi is applicable to all cases of unilateral conversion. And then there is another segment that takes the view that no, Indira Gandhi can be confined to its facts. Now, what happened in Indira Gandhi's case was the minors were never produced before the Registrar of Mualaf. So the conversion was basically carried out in absentia or without their presence. And that's certainly contrary to what the law requires. So the law says you can't convert without the minors being absent, as the minor must recite or utter the Kalima Shahada, the articles of faith, and the minor has to be present before the Registrar of Mualaf. So in Indira, that was the specific facts in the case of Indira Gandhi. And if you look at the cases that may have been reported prior to Indira Gandhi, the facts are not necessarily the same. In some of those other cases, the minors were actually present before the Registrar of Mualaf. The minors may have also uttered the Kalima Shahada. So because there is that difference in terms of the facts, some say that Indira Gandhi is actually very, very unique, very specific to what happened to in that case, and therefore you can't apply the principles in Indira Gandhi to all other cases. Speaking personally, I think there may be some basis to that suggestion, i.e. Indira Gandhi may not necessarily be applicable to all cases of unilateral conversion. But it's being argued out in courts. You know, let's see which particular position prevails in due course.
There are repeated claims that unilateral conversion itself is unconstitutional. Can you explain to us that position?
The issue of unilateral conversion is said to be unconstitutional because Article 12, Sub-4 states the religion of a minor shall be decided by his parent or guardian. Now, the confusion or uncertainty apparently arises from the word parent. If we agree with the federal court's decision in Indira, parent in Article 12, Sub-4 refers to both parents, meaning to say father and mother, and both would have to consent before the religion of a child is determined. So that's basically why, you know, when we talk about the issue of unilateral conversion, particularly if we subscribe to the judgment of the federal court in Indira Gandhi, unilateral conversions would be unconstitutional.
Well, then who has the final say on how the federal constitution is interpreted for this? And does that have any bearing upon Selangor's proposed amendment?
That's actually a somewhat of a simpler question, because issues of constitutionality, according to numerous decisions, including those of the federal court, those issues are to be decided by the civil courts, okay? And just because it may, you know, may be the province of the civil courts, whether it has any bearings on the Selangor's proposed amendment, I suppose it would have a bearing, especially since the federal courts have ruled that civil courts have the exclusive jurisdiction to interpret legislation. So in other words, if Selangor proposes to amend the administration of the Islamic religion, the task of interpreting the amendment still falls to the civil courts. But whether it will be the outcome of that ruling, whether it's going to be the same as Indira Gandhi or not, I wouldn't know, because number one, so far we've only seen or read of reports about the proposed amendment. So we haven't quite seen exactly the exact nature of the amendments being mooted by the Selangor State Legislative Assembly. Secondly, I think we are not also particularly privy to the full basis for the amendment, because reasons for the amendment, I think, is also another aspect that the court may take into account when attempting to uphold whether the proposed amendments are valid in law or otherwise.
And what would you expect to see out of the proposed amendments in Selangor?
Well, I suppose that the details are a bit sketchy at this point in time, but I would imagine that they are trying to ensure that there can be conversions taking place, perhaps in a way that's consistent with both the federal constitution as well as the ruling in Indira Gandhi. You know, I mean, I suppose some quarters may disagree with conversions being done in the way that it was done in Indira Gandhi. And I would be hard-pressed to disagree with any criticisms when it is done in the way it was done in Indira Gandhi's case. But there are various permutations as to how conversions can take place. So I think so long as the amendments are being done in a way that's consistent in law, I think it may not necessarily be problematic or be contrary to the federal constitution. Yeah. Certainly, if you look at how things are expressed in terms of the international human rights position on this issue, there can be ways to ensure that the amendment is done in a way that's consistent with law. The international human rights position on this is simply that a child has the right to profess a religion of his or her choice. So far, of course, if you look at the amendments or the existing legal framework, primacy seems to be given to parents to decide what is supposed to be the religion of a child. And I think we have moved past that legal framework to something that's a bit different. Basically, you give recognition to the best interest of the child. You give due recognition to the right of a child to profess a religion of his or her choice.
And what would the amendment look like if it were to align with the values in the constitution and also take into account the well-being of the child?
Well, I think as opposed to fixating on what parents want, because I think that's where the problem seems to be at this point in time. Yeah, we are trying to decide whether one parent can consent or whether it is both parents that must consent. If we shift from that to a position that we essentially say we take into account, number one, the maturity of a child and the ability of the child to express his or her desires on this matter, meaning to say, if the child says, I want to convert and I want to profess a particular religion, that should be a sufficient starting point for a conversion to be held to be valid. Of course, it may be sensible to also to require perhaps a welfare report, to require appropriate reports to be given by the Registrar of Mu'allaf, so that it is clear that the sentiments expressed by the child is something that is done appropriately. And what is appropriate may depend on a range of factors. As I said earlier, one of the things we can look at perhaps is the maturity of the child. But I think more importantly, beyond that, also we need to ensure that the child is not being forced or coerced to convert, yeah, by any other party. And, he's expressing that wish on his or her own volition.
So you've said that we're waiting for more details. But what do you think it potentially means for parents fighting the unilateral conversion of their child if the amendment were to come through?
I think it depends on the exact nature of the amendment. So since details are a bit sketchy at this point in time, I just think there needs to be a shift from focusing on what parents want to really looking at what children wants to do on the matter. So, of course, when we talk about, unilateral conversion today, it seems to suggest one parent has stolen the march from another parent to convert a child on the quiet. So I prefer to take to pursue an alternative construction of what unilateral conversion is. And that alternative construction is simply one where it is the child who decides on his own that he wishes to profess and believe in a particular religion. That certainly, as I said, seems to be the international human rights position. We don't have to go too far. Just take a look at Article 14 of the Child Rights Convention. And maybe if we head down that road, it can prevent this sort of recurrent issue or controversy from cropping up from time to time.
Nizam, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was civil and Sharia lawyer Nizam Bashir. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.